With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle.
And welcome to the 405th episode of the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name I came up with in 2007. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my two energetic co-hosts, because it's totally not super early in the morning for at least one of them.
No, of course not. Some say it's only 7 a.m. here.
Some say it's 7:18. Okay, let's get it right. we of course have the Lord Jishiro, the Lord, the, we have to put the in the front of your name now. The owner of Jushibot.
Jushibot.
And then of course we've got the one, the only, the super awesome Seth Vilo.
The one who thinks that 7 a.m. is a perfectly reasonable time to be awake.
Also, it's really weird. I don't know. It's been a while since we've had, like, multiple people who, like, run different Puckle shows on the same show.
That is true.
This is actually really, like, this is an anomaly. I'm going to throw this out there. For those of you who are unaware, we have a second RSS feed where we put out other weekly content on Thursdays as well, in addition to the show on Monday, where we, and these two guys run two of those monthly shows.
Yeah, I exhaust you talking all about cards.
And I exhaust you talking about video game.
There we go. Boom. They talk about Pokemon battles both with cardboard and with video games. And,
and microchips.
And microchips. There we go. And so welcome to the show if you're new. Welcome back if you're old. Like I said, this is Puckle. We talk everything Pokemon here, from the video game to the trading card game to pretty much everything else that's got the Pokemon franchise label on it. We're just suckers. That's what I've determined. We're just suckers.
At least that's what our bank accounts keep telling us.
Oh, that's for sure. I do agree with that. we have an awesome show lined up for you guys today. I'm really excited to get to it. So without further ado, how have you guys been? It's been a while since both of you have been on this one. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. What have you guys been up to?
Busy. Buzzing. Rotation happened and worlds happened. By the way, if you guys haven't been able to listen to that episode last week, please go ahead and do so. It was great. It was the first time worlds was, after rotation instead of before.
I'm okay with that too. I'm really okay with that.
Yeah, exactly. Before, instead of after. And it was super exciting. We got Mewtwo GX winning the big old tournament. I've just been experimenting with so many decks. It's only been about maybe less than a month in rotation, and I've been able to make like 8 new decks for this new rotation. And I'm enjoying it so far. So I'm just enjoying the new rotation.
Oh, yeah, no, I love that it's after rotation too, because then it actually shows who's good at the TCG.
Yes.
And not who can meta deck. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think that's the bigger thing, because it shows like, okay, I have confidence in my deck building skills. I can build something in this new meta that barely...
Instead of just going like, hey, does someone has a spare deck I can use?
Yeah,
I'm just good playing, exactly. But I have no idea how to build a deck.
It really invites more people like the Mega Autono deck. It really does. And I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with that. Fun fact, Thatch used to be in the loop on the TCG. used to like for like two years, I was super in the loop. And then I was just like, you know what? I like having money in my bank account. And then I stopped.
And because you stopped, Pokemon Company said, let's go ahead and make him better now.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm super into that.
Yeah, the format right now is great. Like, it's been great for the last year.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's been great for the last 2 years, but it's been, they've made such improvements, to the game itself right now that it's just so much fun to play.
I'm not a fan of the tag team cards just because.
No, yeah.
Because one of the things I really praised with the TCG was mm-hmm. when they initially brought in the concept of GX, it slowed the game down.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really enjoyed them slowing the game down. I thought that was really, it's more inviting as well, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because we went from the EX mechanic to the GX mechanic, and like the rotation that just like cut off everything XY, that was my favorite because we went full on into this EX or this GX mechanic, and it was fantastic. We didn't have to worry about Bridget. And it was a fantastic format. That will always be my favorite because it was just so slow. But then tag team was just like, you remember EX Mons? What if we made them better? And
true, but they did give this high risk, high rewards aspect with tag teams. Like we saw that at Nationals in PuckleCon where the guy lost, he was winning with Pikachrom, and suddenly out of nowhere he had in two turns from six prizes to zero because he just lost his tag team. So it's a high risk, high rewards type of scenario. But I wasn't actually talking about the tag teams that makes it fun, and just to, because the poor survivor haven't even been able to talk today. It is also the fact that there are more and more non-GX decks
up. That's true.
That are more common now. You can find so many of them right now that it just makes it more fun. The way I see it, they're really focusing their strategies in the cards, and just more and more cards from a whole set are more useful than what they used to be. Where before it was like, they has 150 cards this set, 130 are crap, and then 20 of them are good.
Yeah, but this is what happens when you have like 200 plus sets.
Well, now it's like there's 200 cards, and from those 200, 70 are good. Still, not the most of them, but a lot more than it used to be.
I agree with that. What about you, Seth? How's life been going? How's everything going?
It's been going good. TCG-wise, I'm just tickled by the fact that I can play a deck that's good with Sableye, so there's that.
Yeah.
Did that tag team come out yet? I know they're coming out.
Oh, yeah, it's out.
Yeah.
Is it out? Okay.
Sableye Tyranitar, and for those of you who are familiar with me, who
Mega
consider me a
Mega,
defensive...
by the way.
Yeah, it's
is,
Mega.
Interesting that awesome. We have a Mega back.
Yeah, we're about to get the other one, too.
It's interesting because, I don't know, we talked about it a little bit last week. They're just like strategy. I feel like TPCI and Game Freak strategy for the Pokemon franchise just isn't in line at all right now. because I think so. Game Freak made this national dex cut, and then TPCI is just doing all of these crazy things, celebrating like the whole Pokedex. And it's just super confusing to me because like Masters is just like a really big celebration of like everything in the past. You still have Megas. You essentially have Z moves. You have repainted Z moves. And and on top of that, they just, I don't know. It's just really weird. And then you have this weird thing happening with the anime that we don't really know a lot about.
Yeah.
That I want to spend an entire episode on at some point, just like breaking down and talking about it. I hope we get a chance. I hope there's a break in the news cycle.
Yeah, we should have some more info on that on the 29th, I think, is what they said.
We do have more info. We do have more info on the 29th, but I want to have an episode before then so we can talk about what we think might happen. Yeah. And then we can be wrong. But yeah, keep going, Seth.
Oh, no, you're good. I was just saying the fact that the Sableye Tyranitar card is one of the most violent cards and one of the most like aggressive cards, and I am a totally different man when I play the TCG versus when I play video game. I like to blow things up. So the fact that it fits, which is different than Sableye cards in the past, which are all kind of annoying or tricky or something like that.
Yeah, it's always some trick with supporters or some trick with item cards that Sableye used to always have.
Yeah, but now this one is, if you knock out a GX or EX, take another prize. So if you play your cards right, you can just snag four prizes off of a tag team, and it's just, okay, stop me.
It's Guzzlord.
Yeah, it's Guzzlord.
It's Guzzlord, wow.
It's pretty much exactly Guzzlord, but that's its normal attack, not its GX attack.
Oh, wow, that's even better.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
That's fun. Maybe I'll get back in it just for that. No, I don't want to, because then I have to go get supporters again, and I just don't know if I want to go down that hole.
The other cool thing, though, is like I've got all the stuff for this deck, so I don't have to keep buying more things. I'm not going to play anything other than Sableye. Spoiler alert.
Also, my big problem is all of you live too far away, And so I say this like semi-ironically, but not entirely. My friend circle is pretty full right now. Like, I don't really need anymore. And people are just
so
like,
going to a league doesn't really.
Yeah, like, it doesn't. I don't need to make friends with them. Like, I'm not yearning for that kind of companionship. You know what I mean? I'm yearning for companionship with the friends I already have, you know?
Yeah. Makes sense.
It's one of those things. Like, I could go to league, but I also just don't want to. I don't, like those people, they might be good people. They might be nice. I just
but
don't.
Then you have to talk to them, and that's too much work.
I have to invest like time into them, and like there's a relationship I have to build, and that's a lot of work.
Yeah,
you know.
Welcome to the Pokemon Introverts Championship League.
I got OU Pokemons that I have to train. I ain't got time for that.
I'm a solid ambivert. Okay. all right.
Totally functional, as they say.
As for me, I say this really, really like with a heavy heart. I've been playing more Pokemon Masters than I should. I know. I mean, only because
you got my approval.
I'm not a big fan of like the payment mechanic that it has, but I want to just play through the story so like I can have everything unlocked. And I've been doing that. I've just been playing not like a ton. Like I'm talking like maybe like 10 minutes a day or something like that. It's a good toilet game again, you know. And you do stuff like that. And I also my biggest gripe with it is that it's one of those mobile games that like requires you to be online all the time. And like where I work, like especially my lab, it's just like a reception dead zone. So like I can't play it. Like I have a lot of waiting in the, like what I do. Like I have to like start something and then I have to wait 20 minutes. And so like it'd be perfect for that. But the problem is I don't have reception.
Oh, that's a bummer.
So like I can't just boot up Pokemon Masters and like get to it. So that's unfortunate. But let's see. Yeah, I mean that's for the most part. We did start the Nuzlocke this week though. We started the Black 2 Nuzlocke, I should say.
Nice.
We've gotten through the first two gyms. I think there's like 5 episodes ready for YouTube.
Oh, sweet. I missed the start. What did you start with? What was your starter?
We had to start with Snivy because that's what the Twitter poll said, and we had to be good. And like, dude, I regret this decision so much playing through though. Because
that's the one I voted for.
Because it won by literally one vote, by the way. It literally won by one vote. It was Snivy versus Oshawott because we started with Tepig already. But like, I'm super upset because Snivy. So like, Gen 5 picking Snivy, I think is just like in terms of a Nuzlocke, the worst choice, like the absolute worst choice, because Gen 5 has such a lack of water types, and there's so many times where I go, I'm getting ready, and like we're prepping for Berg's gym right now, right? And there's like a Dwebble, and I look at the team and I'm like, we don't really have anything that's going to like Oko Dwebble. And then the chat just goes, only if we had Oshawott. And I'm just like, because Snivy's not doing anything until like gym 8. Like it's just sitting on the bench. It's not doing anything because like it doesn't help with Berg. It absolutely dies to that. Actually, it might get a little bit of work in at Clay. It's not going to do anything with Elsa. I can tell you that much. The other thing is, like, we were gaming the system pretty hard with, like, repels, like, trying to force certain encounters, right? Because there's, like, an 80% Drillbur encounter that can happen in a location, and we're just like, oh, we should game that and go do it, because it has to be, like, the Rustling Dust Patch. And so, like, we do it, we get the encounter, and I swear to God, it's the 20% encounter for an Onix.
Oh, no.
And so we have an Onix instead of a Drillbur, and it's just like, well, it kind of works, but not really. It kind of works. It's really a problem because, well, it's okay because it'll help with Berg and like take out the bug types, but it's not really going to help us as much with Elsa, as because Onix surprisingly doesn't learn that many ground type moves.
Wow.
I think it learned like Dig at level 46 or something.
At level what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It doesn't learn like any ground type moves. So like it'll be like immune to most things that Elsa can throw at us, but it won't be able to hit back.
That's a bummer.
It's a super bummer. It's a super bummer. I'm really upset by that. I am hoping that so we do have a clause in there because for those of you unaware, and this is where we should probably kick it on over to the news. But for those of you unaware, in Black 2 and White 2, if you actually go through the game, you can actually catch things called Ends Pokemon if you link it up with a copy of Black or White.
the memory link, I think.
Yeah,
is what
if you
it's
do the if you do
like
the
that.
Memory link, you can catch Pokemon that were owned quotes by N, because he releases all of his Pokemon like canonically after each battle with you in black and white,
mm-hmm.
and you can catch them in the wild. And so in the thing, we treat them like shiny Pokemon. And so like if we run into an N's Pokemon, we can catch it.
That's cool.
And then we can use it on our team. So that's the one. Like so, one of them is a Sandile.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm really gonna push for that Sandile. On top of that, it has a different OT, so it gets boosted experience.
Oh yeah.
All I have to say is you should have chosen Oshawott,
dude. I wanted Oshawott, like, but I let the community decide, and that's the problem.
See, well,
you're welcome.
All right. On that note, we are gonna kick it on over to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, there's actually not that much. There's not like a super Pokemon Go thing happening other than there's the Ultra events going on right now. By the time you listen to this, you already missed week one, so I'm sorry. But we will be getting Deoxys in like 5-star raids. It's September, starting September 11th, which will be really, really cool. On top of that, if you play Pokemon Masters is having an event right now. I think it's for like a month. It's until like the 29th. Correct me if I'm wrong. And it's actually incredibly awesome. You can go play with, you can play with Blue, and then you have to still pull him, which is part of the reason I hate this game.
It's part of the method of how those games work.
But with some grinding on some of the story events, you can actually get things that'll let you power up one of your characters to a 5-star from like a 3-star or something like that. So definitely do it if you're into that. You do have to beat the game though, I think, to be able to beat like the story mode to be able to get to some of those parts. Yeah. So that's interesting. You guys can go do those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Banjo-Kazooie's in Smash. That's the thing that happened this week.
So is Team Rocket.
Team Rocket. Yeah, you get Team Rocket. That's it. They drop such random stuff in like this all of the time.
And like Sans from Undertale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just
people
very
went
confused.
Wild with that one.
But yeah, you can go get Mii outfits for Team Rocket so you can run around dressed as Team Rocket in Super Smash Brothers. That's kind of fun.
And don't worry, guys. Devil May Cry 2 is going to be available on Switch.
Let's see. Yep. There's not much. The other thing that we did mention briefly in the intro today was that the anime is doing something different. First of all, they're changing the name back to just Pocket Monsters in Japan. It's just like the original anime. They're changing it to Pocket Monsters. There's a small little clip that showed every single region with the three starters. And apparently this new anime, or I'm going to put new in quotes, because we don't know if it's a reboot or not yet. We literally know nothing.
We go through this every time.
Yeah, we literally know nothing, and I want to make that very clear, that anything that I say behind that is that just speculation. So we have this. It is going to include every region, it says, which is just like, Pokemon Company, what are you doing? I can't go to every region in the game, and I'm okay with that. I've accepted that since since 2005. Okay. I've just accepted it's just not happening again. That I'll never be able to go back to a region. I had such hope for Sword and Shield because I'm just like, oh, England's super close to France. It'd be super cool if we go back to Kalos because we never got to go back to Kalos ever. And then they just kind of like, it's just like, but all the Pokemon aren't going to be there. And it's like, well, if all the Pokemon are going to be there, the thing that's definitely 20 yards further down the field definitely isn't happening either. So, but then they complain about forms and then they make 40 forms of all creamy. It's fine. It's fine. I don't understand what's happening, and that's okay.
I think it's, you know, it's kind of a weird way to approach it, but maybe, you know, they're thinking, okay, people won't be able to play with their favorites, so we'll put them in the anime.
I kind of get that. I personally, as a Pokemon fan, like as I would say, I don't want to say this is like gatekeeping. That's not my intention, but like as a quote unquote OG Pokemon fan, somebody who started with the video games and sees like the video games as like the heart of the franchise, which I don't know if that's true for people who come into the franchise anymore, right? Especially with Pokemon Go. And I know there's TCG players that are just like, they're just TCG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I understand there's different ways to love Pokemon, but it's something that like, this is the thing that started it all. This is the thing that I think is always the heart of it. And Game Freak seems to still believe that to an extent because they only put the new Pokemon in that. I'm still of the mindset that like the Pokemon were left out of the game because they literally ran out of time. I'm of that mindset.
I think so too.
I really do. We can talk about the priorities later. But I think that's really weird to me. Just in that. That's where I don't know. I do appreciate the anime doing this. I would like to see the anime. Honestly, I said it before, and I think I only said it in Discord before. I don't think I've said it on the show. But the way I would love to see it is, I would love to see two animes. Like, keep your Ash anime as like your entry level kids anime, right? Because that's kind of what it's devolved to at this point. And we just don't have Saturday morning cartoons anymore, which is also another travesty of the modern age.
We don't? Wait, we don't?
Saturday morning cartoons don't exist anymore. They stopped doing it. They stopped doing it like 2-3 years ago.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
Right?
What are the kids nowadays are doing right now?
Right? Well, they're watching YouTube and Netflix.
I mean like right now, Saturday morning.
Yeah, they're watching YouTube and Netflix probably. That's what I assume.
What are you talking about, Yushiro? It's Monday morning.
You have to remember, like most kids these days, like I didn't realize how much of a thing this was because like I was shopping for a new tablet recently.
Yeah.
And I was just like, maybe I'll just get an Amazon Fire. And I'm like reading the reviews on it. And the people are just like, this is great for my kids. It replaced their iPad. I'm like, why are you giving kids these things?
Yeah.
It took forever for my parents to like give me a video game of any kind. Like I had to beg for it and I didn't get one for years. Then it all just happened at once. Like I think they got me a Game Boy and they realized it was all okay. And then like N64 immediately after that. And then like all this other stuff. I think it was bad for my brother. I do agree that video games and stuff at like a young age probably isn't like the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because like if you just look at my mentality versus my brother's mentality, I would say they're completely different. And that's because like I started playing video games when I was like 8-9 years old, and my brother started playing video games when he was like 2.
Oh wow, yeah.
When he was like 2. So like he's just been playing video games like his entire life, and like you can just see like the I wouldn't say disconnect, but you can see the change in personality. And I don't want to attribute that all to that because we're definitely still different people. But I would say that there's probably something there. But yeah, the kids these days are just like, they have tablets and the parents just say, hey, watch YouTube. And that's why YouTube just announced the thing about creators who make kids content.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be under like a more stringent rule set now about ads and everything. So like it is something that like is a big market that I think a lot of us in, I would say, the millennial Gen Z generations don't quite understand because we grew up with the technology. And we're so like, I feel like technology for a lot of us has progressed and like we're all at the top of it and we understand this is the newest, best, biggest thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think people understand the awkward people who don't understand, like who are just older than us.
Yeah. It's baby boomers.
Yeah. Well, I would say like older Gen Z and baby boomers, right? And then they're just handing the next generation of kids on like the gen, oh, I meant Gen X, not Gen Z. Gen X.
I wasn't going to correct you.
Please correct me. Anytime I said Gen Z prior to this, I meant Gen X. But the Gen Z kids are just kind of getting handed, you know, tablets. And so Saturday morning cartoons are dead. And that's where we'll end that on this Pokemon podcast. And be really sad that you can't. I think Pokemon still airs on Saturday morning, so heads up.
You can do your own Saturday morning.
Well, the thing is, you have a lot of these cable channels that just do cartoons 24/7 anyway. So what's the point of doing? That's where all cartoons migrated to.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to binge the Dark Crystal show after we're done recording, so I still have some more cartoon.
But yeah, that's where we'll end it. Other than that, in Puckle news, the Kanto versus the World Tournament signups are still open. That starts at the end of this month, so be sure to sign up if you want a chance to get a copy of Pokemon Sword and Shield and to be entered into the final tournament of the year. And if you win that final tournament, you can win a Nintendo Switch Lite. It's very exciting times.
Yeah.
Probably I think the turquoise one looks pretty.
It does.
So that is it for the news. We're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge.
Hey,
and welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane and innate Pokemon knowledge. These guys have to use what's only in their heads. They can work it. They work as a team to gather points. There are going to be five questions today, all about Pokemon. They get 1 point per question they get right, except for the one that they don't do that on. They get two if they get the bonus point attached to it, and they have a hint that they can use as a lifeline for one of the questions. If they get all of the questions correct without using the hint, they can actually get 7 points. They are in a race with their fellow co-host to a total of 30 points. Whoever gets there first gets a $20 credit to our T Public store to get whatever they want, including a tapestry.
Woo!
And yeah, it's fun. And so moving on with that, though, if you want a tapestry or a cell phone case or a t-shirt, you can thank AnimeGravy.com, the one-stop shop for all of your anime needs. They actually have a lot of really cool stuff, and they're moving into like more original art, and it's all fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love these guys. They like started having like D&D designs and stuff like that.
Yeah, you've said the dice thing. I love the dice
thing.
That's so awesome.
It's really awesome. I'm a big fan of them. I also just like them.
So am I.
They're good people. They really are. Go check out AnimeGravy.com. But without further ado, we're going to jump into this. The one thing I will give people at home listening and our co-host fair warning for is that Thatch went and worked out before the show and did not prep as hard as he should have, and therefore is just going to be randomly pulling trivia questions from the Discord. I apologize in advance. So if you are ready, I am. I'm going to give you some questions.
Let's do this, Cephalo.
As ready as we can be.
All right. So this first question is going to harken back to the anime.
Dang it.
In the anime, who is the first female traveling companion who does not get their bike destroyed by Ash and Pikachu?
Ooh. Female companion. Wait. Define companion.
Traveling companion.
Like.
But obviously, there's characters that join for one or two episodes and then disappear.
No. Like throughout the season. Like
throughout
this. You have your core group of that travel with Ash through the whole season. That's who we're talking about.
Okay. That was my question.
Okay.
So Misty runs all the way. Yeah, she lasts for a long while. And I forgot who came after her.
That would be Gen 3, and that's May. But I don't know if that feels like too obvious of an answer, and I feel like there might be some, like, because there were some characters that were companions during the Gen 2 thing, because I think there was that one dude who was an artist who had a really old Scyther.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think if there's something
Tracy.
Like that. You're better at this than me. I don't know anything.
He does nothing in the second movie, by the way. Tracy literally does nothing in Pokemon the movie 2000. He literally holds a rope once, and that's his contribution. That's his contribution.
I'm trying to remember, but I honestly can't remember any other companion for a whole season, like a whole, like, legit, this is a Ash companion before May that was not Mewtwo. That was not Misty.
What?
I get spoilers on the new anime.
That's pretty good.
Suddenly that's the new anime. Like, really?
It should be.
Honestly,
that would be great.
Make it the manga, please.
Right? No, but seriously, what do you want to go with May?
I guess so. That seems like the best thing, because I don't think there was anyone in Gen 2 other than that, unless there was some minor character we're forgetting that was a major character. So, I mean, May is fine by me.
Okay, May it is.
That is unfortunately incorrect. The first female traveling companion who does not get their bike destroyed by Ash and Pikachu is actually Iris in Gen 5.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So the qualifier was bike destruction.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I know. I was
May
just
got her bike
to...
destroyed too?
May got her bike destroyed. Literally
what?
The first episode of the Pokemon Advance anime. So did Dawn.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Flawed by the flawed script.
I thought you were just trying to ask,
Pokemon.
Like, who not Misty came next, and I knew it was too simple.
No.
I knew it was too simple.
They legitimately, like, play that same trope multiple times.
Oh, God.
You owe me a bike, Ash Ketchum!
That's how Ash flirts.
All right. All right. So let's move to like more recent Pokemon theater. In the movie Detective Pikachu, Instead of moving to Rhyme City with his dad, Tim Goodman decides to stay living with his grandmother in what town?
Oh, snap. Really? Really?
I will give you the hint that it is kind of a pun.
Oh, really?
Oh,
aren't
good.
They all?
What do you mean? Pokemon names have puns in them? That's crazy.
With trees? With trees? It has to do with trees, kind of.
A pun to do with trees.
Well, it doesn't have to do with trees, but like there's a joke with trees in it about it. This is a bad question. I'm sorry, guys.
What?
I expected you to pay attention to this movie.
Oh, I did. I saw it three times. I just never expected to be asked about the town where he came from. It's like the one detail I didn't pay attention in that movie.
What does he do in this town?
Try to catch a Cubone.
Okay. What does he do after that?
He goes to insurance company.
What does he do after that?
He gets the phone call.
Okay, okay, let's make bigger...
I miss my dadopolis.
What does he do after that?
He bought a ticket, but I don't know from
okay,
where to
okay,
where.
Okay.
Trainopolis.
What did he do when he got the ticket?
He
went to the Wonka factory.
Okay, what did he do?
He took the train.
Okay, and what would you call that when he took the train?
The hero's journey.
This is really bad Pictionary.
Wait, well, he rode the train. He got on the train.
When he was on the train, what was he doing to the town?
Oh my god.
Waving goodbye?
Close. What's the five leaf?
He left.
Yeah.
So it has to do with leave. Leave town.
I will give you that point. That is close enough. The name is Leaven Town.
What?
Spelled L-E-A-V-E-N Town.
What the heck?
That's 1 point for you guys today. I am so sorry.
I just woke up my girlfriend.
So this next question is always just a Pokedex entry. This is what happens when I don't prepare. I'm so sorry.
I love you and I love Ryan Reynolds.
My cheeks hurt from smiling so much right now, by the way. And so the next question is always a Pokedex question. You guys are 1-for-2 right now because I was a gracious god. And so
he's a god that admitted his mistake.
Yes. So this comes from Pokemon Black 2. And it reads, it likes to land on people's heads softly and act like it's a hat. Who's that Pokemon?
You said Black 2?
Black 2. It comes from Black 2. It doesn't mean it's the original version the Pokemon came from.
It likes to mimic people as a hat. What looks like
a hat? It likes to land on people's heads softly and act like it's a hat.
It's
flying. Wah.
It's some kind of bird, yes. And I know that I feel like this was referenced in one of the Rollout podcast, and they made a joke about this, and Charlie caught this Pokemon in the Rollout podcast, I think, and I feel like part of it might be Swablu, it might be Ducklett, I don't think it's Woobat or Swoobat.
I am coming out as... nothing, honestly. I am trying to think like something that will want to act like
hat. No, it was the other guy who caught this. Is it a Swablu? That I think all of its dex entries talk about it cleaning with its,
I'm gonna
with
need
its
an answer.
Wings.
I'm gonna have to relay on you on this one.
I'm trying to think. It's some kind of what are other birds in Gen 5?
No, but remember, the Pokedex is from Gen 5. The Pokedex entry is from Gen 5, but doesn't mean that the Pokemon is from Gen 5.
You're right.
I'm going to need this answer, Seth.
Just go with whatever you... Just go with Swablu, soft, and cottony, and nice.
Yeah,
just,
we'll go with that.
Swablu is correct.
Oh, nicely gone, Seth.
Our next question has a bonus point, and because he missed the first question, you can also get a redemption point.
Yay.
Praise Arceus.
And because there's five possible answers. I only need three of them. It's 1 point per each because I think these are kind of difficult to come up with. So for every one you get a point, a maximum of three. So you guys are 2 for 3 right now. You guys could be back to 5 for 4.
Okay.
So many Pokemon have signature moves based on their type. However, there are Pokemon who have signature moves that are not the same type as the Pokemon.
Oh, I hate you.
And so this would be, for an example, this does not count because we're not including Alolan Pokemon, but like Alolan Marowak learns Bone Meringue.
Right.
So we're talking about things like that. Makes sense?
Okay.
And so I just want you to name any Pokemon that has a signature move that is not of the type of that Pokemon.
Okay.
1 point for each.
Okay.
How many?
There are five. There are five total. I only need, like I said, maximum of 3 points. I only need three.
Okay.
These are the only Pokemon that learn these moves.
No one else learned the moves that they learn.
Yeah. Well, learn them naturally via level up.
Okay. I think this is something that, Vilo, you need to, let's discuss this, because...
I'm pondering. I feel like one of them is Pukumuku and Purify, because I think that's a normal move.
Okay.
That is correct. I will give you the verification that that is correct. That's one.
I feel that there has to be a Pokemon with a signature move that is poison, and it itself is not poison. And I can't remember which
one. Well,
that's
Pukumuku. Purify is poison.
Oh, it's Purify is poison? Oh. Yeah.
Oh, that is Pukumuku. All right.
Mm-hmm.
What are signature moves? Leaf Blade is a signature, or was. Steel Wing was, but it's not anymore. I'm trying to think of any signature moves you can. Maybe with Legends.
I can. So I'm gonna force you guys to use your hint here.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
hey, Jushira, let's use the hint.
Let's use it. Yeah.
So of the Pokemon you're missing, two of them are Gen 1 Pokemon. The two Gen 1 Pokemon are both Psychic types mixed with something else, and then the other two are actually Gen 7 Pokemon. And they both learn normal type moves. One of the Gen 7 Pokemon actually is the first one to learn this particular HM by level up.
Oh, that's Kartana with Cut.
So that's two.
Okay.
So Gen 1 Psychic and something, Gen 7 Normals.
Well, it's not a normal type Pokemon, it's a normal type move.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
My brain knew that.
Isn't Lovely Kiss something that Jinx would learn? And it was something that it was for her only?
It might
only?
Be normal, yeah. Psychic Ice.
I don't remember the type Lovely... I don't even remember it's Lovely Kiss. It's something with a kiss.
Yeah. Is it Lovely?
Like, I think so.
Or Sweet?
I think it's... I think it's Lovely. It's Lovely Kiss, and I think it was just... It learned it in Gen 1, or whenever that move came up about, and it was a Jinx exclusive. And I think it's normal, but I'm not sure.
Is that going to be your final answer there?
What do you think, Seth?
How does this work? Is it a strike system?
Sure, I don't care.
Okay, so we have 5 guesses to get all 5 if we get one wrong. We've gotten 2.
Okay.
So are you going to use it?
Yeah.
Jinx with Lovely Kiss is correct. So that gives you 3 points. You guys are at 3 points. Other two that you're missing, Exeggutor with Barrage.
Barrage, yep.
And the other one is Oricorio with Revelation Dance.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's technically a normal move.
Yep.
Okay.
There you go. Boom.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did that. Cool. We did it.
Woo-hoo!
Good job, guys. Okay, you're at 5 for 4. Next question is going to be your base stat question, as always. And I want to know, what electric-type Pokemon has the lowest base attack stat, physical attack? I have a feeling that I need to double-check this, but go ahead.
Okie dokie.
Lowest attack.
What are garbage electric-types? First thing that comes to mind is Pichu, because just it's a baby.
I mean, in these questions, it could be baby Pokemon.
I feel like another possibility is Tynamo.
Hmm.
Because it's also, for... all intents and purposes, a baby.
Yeah. What about Pachirisu? Does it have good attacks?
Pachirisu is a single stage electric. It wouldn't be weaker than something like a Pichu.
Okay.
Lowest attack on a Pokemon.
I am surprised this person didn't get it wrong. So there we go. Good on you, P. McGee. I shouldn't have doubted you.
Okay. So it's a surprising. It's what just let us know there.
It's not surprising. It's just a higher lowest base death than I expected.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hmm. I did not expect it to be that high. I'll just tell you it was 30.
It's 30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so what do you think? What Pichu? We got Pichu. We mentioned Tynamo.
Yeah.
Anything from Gen 7 that might ring a bell?
Not really. They didn't really have many electric types. The only one I could think of is Grubbin, but A, it's higher, and B, it's not electric. So
Right. Yeah, I'm okay with... I mean, Pichu sounds about right, but I don't
know. It's just kind of a coin flip between Pichu and Tynamo, I guess.
Yeah.
Unless I'm trying to think of any other random trash electrics. It's not going to be any of the single-stage Pika clones. It's not any of that. Mareep is in there, but I don't think it's going to be 30 low.
Yeah. It ain't going to be a Elekid.
Actually, no, you're right. Because
yeah, Elekid has to have a higher than Pichu.
That's its primary stat. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to need an answer.
I feel like it's one of these two. Which one do you think? The one that only learns four moves ever, or Pikachu's...
Let's go with Tynamo.
Tynamo?
Mm-hmm.
Tynamo is incorrect.
Oh, so sorry.
So is Pichu. The answer is Voltorb. Voltorb has a base 30. The next highest is actually Pichu with, or not Pichu, it's Chinchou with like 38. And then from there it's Pichu. Tynamo's like 55.
Yeah.
That's Tynamo's main attack, or main stat.
It is, yeah. That's think Electros. Why I was kind of hesitant.
Right. So that is that gives you guys 5 points today, though. And looking at the standings, Whimsicott's in first place with 9. You two are both tied with 5 points for second place. Mm-hmm. And then bringing up fourth, we have Dr. Shambi with 4. And everybody else has yet to get on the board. Call them slackers. And so that is where we are at. All right. So that is it for the Poke Quiz this week, guys. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back at you with the topic. We have a new iTunes review this week from Cyan Zero. Come for the topic, stay for the community. Puckle is a podcast very much worthy of 5 stars. Thatch and the co-host make sure to always crack a smile when you may feel down. Some of the antics they get down to are just plain old fun, and it's like you're sitting at lunch as middle schoolers. No matter what you like about Pokemon, this podcast will definitely be one of your favorites. Well, thank you, Cyan Zero. I really appreciate that. And we did get a more critical one from Sampy. I didn't want to read it because I didn't want to, like, target him down. So, Sampy, I do want to say I hear you, and I apologize, and I will work on getting better. So, I'm going to go ahead and close it off here. If you want to hear your iTunes review read on the show, go ahead and write one, and we'll read it. So thanks for writing in those reviews, guys. I really appreciate it. And we are going to kick it on over to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be all of the new stuff that came out this week in Pokemon. I really hate that they only do these like 2-3 minute videos, but they're just like way too packed with information. And because it's a 2-3 minute video, and that's usually how I used to be able to determine whether or not it was worth doing a whole episode on. But now that rule's just thrown out the window because there was just so much that was thrown in there. Mm-hmm. So first we got 2 new Pokemon. I'm going to say 2.5 new Pokemon that revealed.
Yeah.
So the first one was Cramorant, which is the Gulp Pokemon. It's a flying water type, and it has a new ability called Gulp Missile.
I'm not even going to touch that one.
It's honestly like an albatross, and what happens is when it comes to food, it'll try swallowing anything it puts in its mouth. Sometimes it swallows things that are not its intended prey, spitting them out in a hurry once it realizes its mistake. and then really odd things, it never forgets its bond with its trainer. Cramorant can be forgetful, but it'll never forget a trainer it grows to trust. However, it seems that even trainers will face fierce attacks from the Cramorant if they try to steal its food. And the details on Gulp Missile... which our Discord has been obsessed with, by the way, and I don't quite understand why. I just don't. So first of all, it also has this little artwork of like it spitting out a fish, which I hope is a new Pokemon altogether as well, kind of like a Remoraid situation.
I am sure.
It looks too well illustrated.
It's so detailed. It's got to be a Pokemon. So Cramorant's ability, Gulp Missile, is a new ability introduced to these titles and can be triggered during battles. After Cramorant uses Surf or Dive. So Surf, if you ever want to use it.
Maybe.
It'll return with a catch in its mouth. If it It takes damage while in this state. Cramorant will retaliate by spitting out its catch at the attacker. So it's literally, hey, I caught a fish, and then it'll spit it out. And it's weird. It's weird.
Think of it like iron barbs.
And yeah, kind of like a worse iron barbs, because you have to use surf first. Surf or dive.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm not a big fan.
It depends on if it goes off a stat.
Our Discord has just been going crazy, like trying to find the competitive viability of this. And I'm just like, man, guys, it's just a gimmick.
It's just a Pokemon who throws up its food. It's a gimmick.
If you want to have an idea, its HP stat is somewhere between 65 and 70.
Yeah, so it's not surviving a hit.
Yeah.
It's not surviving a hit. It's probably a single stage too. People, I don't think it's going to evolve. I think it's just single stage all the way through.
It may have a preform, but that's it.
Yeah, maybe a preform, but I think this is its final form. I'm going to be completely honest. I think this is its final form.
I love how when it's holding the fish,
it looks like it's choking.
No, there's a little section of the back of its head that juts out from where the fish's head is.
Oh my gosh, you're right. You're right.
There is no spine there.
You're absolutely right. So, moving on, we got another new Pokemon as well. We got Poltegeist.
Oh my god.
Yes.
The Black Tea Pokemon. It's a ghost type, pure ghost, which has been something that I don't think we've had since, like, Shuppet and Dusknoir.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're right, but
I'm thinking Rotom. What Gen 4 Ghost, Gen 4 Ghost was Dusknoir. Gen 5 Ghost was Litwick.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yamask and Cofagrigus were the
Yamask, last. Yamask and Cofagrigus. You're right.
Oh.
But those aren't very memorable because they're too bulky. And it also has the ability Weak Armor.
I think it's so cool.
So black tea with a distinct aroma and flavor. Poltegeist's body is made from black tea and is said to have a very distinct aroma and flavor. It will only allow a trainer at trust to sample its tea. However, drinking too much can lead to indigestion or an upset stomach, so be careful. I don't know that I want to drink anything that, like, is a living creature's tea.
This was a part of me.
But it's a ghost type. What about if it's a dead creature?
I don't. That's even worse, I think, to an extent, right? Like,
No. It just possesses the tea. The tea was there to begin with.
That makes it even worse, honestly.
It's fine. And if it pours some of itself into other leftover tea, it makes more of itself. That's how they reproduce. So it's fine.
Pest for hotels and restaurants. Many Poltegeist make their homes inside hotels and restaurants, disguising themselves and hiding among the tableware. They can pour their power into leftover tea and create even more of their kind, so they're often treated as pests. I agree with that being pest, yes.
How dare you? This thing is beautiful, and it's one of my favorites. Did you guys see the 4chan post about this, by the way?
No, I'm not watching 4... Oh, wait, no, they're what? So they're from 2014?
From 2014, what? Someone said, yeah. Guys, I'm calling it now. There's going to be a ghost-type Pokemon that haunts a teacup, and its name will be Entity, and it will evolve into a haunted teapot named Poltegeist from 2014.
Wow.
This Pokemon, if this thing evolves from Entity, I quit. They've like, all the things that we've said about Pokemon not paying attention to its fans, we were wrong. Yep. It just takes 5 years.
we're gonna get there in a minute, because like I do have other things I want to mention about that. The other thing that we got that Seth and I have been talking about in between segments is that all creamy has been revealed to have like 40 forms.
Yeah,
it's like different toppings with different flavors.
Yeah, right now we have 28 we've seen.
There's like 8 different flavors and 5 different toppings. So yep. There's a grid.
If we have millions of Spinda, sure we can have 28 creamies.
It's 40.
Oh, it will be.
I'm just more upset that they complained that there were too many forms of Pokemon, and then they were just like, here, have 40 forms of this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I said off air, it's just a palette swap and little
it's
decoration.
It's true. It is true. It probably isn't that much work, so I will give you that.
And what you pointed out, Thatch, is awesome with the Gigantamax thing, where we should have caught this early, because all of these toppings...
All the toppings are on the Gigantamax form, yeah.
Every one of them.
Yep.
Every single one. All right, but that's it for the new Pokemon that were revealed. There were just a ton more features revealed as well. I'm going to get this one out of the way because it was revealed, but it didn't need to be. But Pokemon Trainer Customization is back.
Yeah, and better than ever.
They do have way more
hair more style. Stuff. Hairstyles, yeah. Makeup for the ladies.
Yep.
Lots of different hairstyles and hair colors. You can make green hair. This is awesome.
I do appreciate the hairstyles as well, because like some of them actually harken back to older games. Like you can get Professor Sycamore's hair and stuff like that. So
is Whimsicott still in Spoiler Blackout?
I mean, she listens to the show.
Oh, okay, so she knows.
Whimsicott, they're pretty.
Yeah, they're really pretty. You will squeal.
Yeah. So that's one thing I just wanted to mention. Trainer customization's back, and it looks like they actually did like update that to make it a bit better. The other thing that's really cool is because not only do you get to choose your own number while you're taking on the Galar region's league, you can also create a card that passes around from trainer to trainer. You can pass it to your friends.
Baseball cards.
Yeah, it's essentially baseball cards, but
you're making your own trading cards.
Yeah. And so it's a really cool feature. I do like that. The one thing I will give this game, they might not have all the Pokemon, but they did a fantastic job with the world building.
Yeah.
I think compared to previous Pokemon games, they did a really good job of trying to immerse you into this region.
Yes.
And I think it's done such a phenomenal job of that so far, just with the previews. Maybe when I play it, it'll be awful. I mean, Hop will probably take me out of it. I'm not going to lie.
Until we find out he's the villain.
Until we find out he's not the villain. He's just How 2.0.
He is the villain.
Oh, God.
He's just
the villain.
He's the Galarian variant of How. That's what
he's
is.
The Judas.
But yeah, it's really cool. It's a nice little feature. I am a fan of it. I think people will enjoy that.
Me too.
You can put yourself
it's
into
like
JoJo's poses.
What's the thing that we had in Gen 6? The videos that you could customize?
Yeah.
I thought that was like the start, and I'm like, this is a good idea, but I think it's too much work. I think this is the ultimate form of that.
I agree. This is simple enough that it gets done, but it's still customizable enough that it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. And you can just look at it. You don't have to watch it. You know what I mean? I think there's a difference there.
And if that's like your ID for online.
Oh, yeah. The other thing that's really cool that they added in is they did bring Wonder Trade back, but not in the way that you're thinking. It's just like it's Wonder Trade on crack. So what you can do is you can do, instead of what's called a Wonder Trade, it's now called Surprise Trade.
Okay.
And what can happen is you can go and you can select a Pokemon in your boxes that you're willing to trade, and that's it. And then you just run around the game while you're online, and it randomly trades it for you later.
Nice.
Oh, I misread that. That's so cool.
So the question is, like, how many Pokemon can you do at once and stuff like that? Which could be really interesting, because, like, say you have a box full of Breejex if breeding is back in the game, which Ditto is confirmed to be in the game. So
it will be.
It better be. Yeah, I hope. Like, I hope they're just like, we didn't destroy Pokemon the franchise entirely.
Because without it, you just become hacking. That's it.
Yeah.
Without breeding,
I agree.
You become a hacked game.
I agree.
So
with that.
There will be breeding.
I agree with that. But yeah, so you can. The game will keep trying to match you with a trading partner, even as you engage in Pokemon battles and other activities you'll find while exploring Galar, so there's no need to hunt for a trading partner or feel like you're left waiting.
So cool.
That's awesome.
These trades can be carried out with players from across the world if you're using the internet, but with local communication, you can even get a trade from someone around you before you know what's happening. So, like, say you're just, like, on a park bench playing your game, and somebody else is playing the game, and you both have surprise trade on, boom.
That's awesome.
It's like Spot Pass, you know?
But better.
That's lots of different places. You can see if you get a spot surprise trade. You won't know what Pokemon you'll get in exchange for your Pokemon until you actually receive it. If you're lucky, you might end up with a rare Pokemon. The thing that does bother me about this, though, is this would have been so much cooler on the 3DS, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine Street Pass, like, surprise trades?
Yeah. That would have been so awesome for all the Breejacks and everything.
And that's something that's just not going to happen.
I mean, it will.
I don't. The Switch isn't, in my opinion, as portable as the 3DS.
No.
The thing is, if you're the person who is bringing your 3DS around places to have it Wonder Trade, you're also the person who's bringing around your Switch to be able to do that.
That's true.
I don't agree with that.
No?
I don't agree with that.
I agree with Seth.
Nope. I don't agree with that. I would not. So I'll explain to you. So my bag is only so large that I go. Mm-hmm. So, like, I went to campus and I got really into Street Pass and did all that stuff when I was doing graduate school on campus. And my bag was big enough that I could fit the 3DS into a pocket in my bag, right? I cannot take the Switch and put it in a pocket of my bag. I have to put it into the main compartment, which is usually filled up by a laptop and some other stuff. So it's not nearly, for me at least, as portable. It would be something that I would second guess bringing. My 3DS? No, just throw it in that pocket. Done. I also think the battery life on the Switch also hurts it in that regard as well. Like, the Switch Lite has a slightly better battery than the Switch.
I think it's just like a couple of hours more.
Yeah, it's only a couple hours more. Or you went and you took your OG Switch and you went to GameStop, paid $75 to get the brand new one.
Yeah.
Which has like up to 9 hours, but it's still like minimum 4.5, which this game looks like it's going to be pretty process intensive.
Yes, it is.
So I think you're going to get 4.5 out of it. And unlike the 3DS, which
100 curry recipes. That takes a lot of space.
We'll get there in a minute. And so yeah, we take this. Yeah, you take your 3DS, which can in sleep mode. A Street Pass can last all day to the Switch, which you have to have on probably for this, for 4.5 hours. I think that's a far different process.
Can it not just be online? Just have the Switch be online? I think that's the option.
So you could be online. Yeah. That's fine. I think that's fine. I'm just talking about having like a Street Pass capability, and I think that's a quote unquote missed opportunity.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's not a cool feature.
Yeah.
So the final thing that we want to talk about, and I think I have a lot of feelings about this.
Mm-hmm.
Is called Pokemon Camp. You can enjoy a Pokemon Camp almost anywhere and anytime you're exploring in the Galar region. If you ever feel like spending some time with Pokemon in the party or just cooking up a nice meal with them, there's no need to hesitate. In many cases, you can set up camp right then and there. So this is Pokemon and Me.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is just the updated version of Pokemon and Me.
So this is Pokemon and Me.
You have to give Eevee some way to evolve.
So this is, I think this is the part of the announcement that probably will have like the most controversy out of everything. I'm going to put controversy in quotes as well.
Yeah.
It's going to have the most discussion out of everything. Because this is Pokemon and Me, except you can see all 6 of your Pokemon at once.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. Some of the Pokemon do have new animations for this. When people are talking about Pokemon having new animations and new, and being more expressive, this is probably what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And so there's that. You can also cook up different meals with them. There's 100 different recipes that you can make with them, which I don't care about the recipe decks. I care about the Pokédex.
I care about the recipe decks. I'm so excited for this.
But it's interesting. I mean, it's definitely interesting.
I love cooking in Breath of the Wild. And
So the thing is, we can all agree and like talk about, oh, look, you can cook meals and you can make different things out of different ingredients. And then I'm going to go, man, if only they would have thought about that back in 2002 when they released Ruby and Sapphire and you put a bunch of ingredients in a thing and stirred it.
Yeah, Thatch. Yes, but it wasn't a mini game, and
it was a mini game.
It was a mini game.
It was literally a mini game. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, right. It was. Wait. Yes, I remember now.
It's just that redone.
So literally, everybody that's like, I've seen so many people go like almost with the attitude that this is a revolutionary feature, and this is what they're doing.
Oh wow!
I was just like, no, I'm just like this is not. This is not revolutionary. This is literally Pokeblocks with a new coat of paint.
Yeah.
It is.
Breath of the Wild mechanic.
I enjoy the fact that it's back, personally. Like, I'm perfectly fine. 2.0.
It's Pokeblock Poffins, all that back together, you know? And we it's something that we haven't had in the game for a while. I do agree with that. And I like that it's got a more modern coat of paint. Yeah. But I do want to say, I want to make it clear that this is something that has been in the games before.
Yes, of
and
course.
It's not a revolutionary new feature. And let's not treat it as such. The other thing is people are freaking about the animations. And at least from somebody coming from the point of view where I go, man, I really didn't, like, I'm not a big fan of, like, the Dex cut, obviously, right? We've obviously said that on the show, and I know, Jashir, you have completely different opinions, and that's fine. I think we can both agree to disagree, and I'm okay with that. Especially this, because, I mean, I'm still going to play the game, you're still going to play the game, we're still going to have a good time.
Yeah.
And so, but, like, from my point of view with the Dex cut, and them doing the animations here, the thing that I think, personally, is that Game Freak just has their priorities not in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they go, oh, we want to really have these interactive features, and I think it's maybe them trying to make Pokemon something more than just a battling simulator, like they have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I understand what they're trying to do, and the question is that going to pay off? Is that something people want? And honestly, I've barely used a Mii. I used the refresh feature more often in Sun and Moon, only because it gave you those in battle effects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that's something that I don't know. I want to see if this pays off for them. I personally don't see the payoff for it. Other than the Pokeblocks.
It depends, in my opinion, on what the stuff does. Mm-hmm. Like, if the curry does something, and if that fills the void of super training, it's not even filling a void, because you can do the jobs.
Yeah.
But if you can make a spicy dish that increases the attack EVs,
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
worth
different.
Something.
I agree with that.
Experience boosting and, you know, the friendship increase. I mean,
I'm curious what they do.
Yeah.
I am curious to see how this goes. I am.
I think we are also, like, every time we compare, like, oh, they did this, but they couldn't have done the National Dex thing. We have to remember that probably this curry thing, they only had one programmer doing. It's just animations, right? It's very different from turning 800 and something Pokemon and giving them all animations ready for the Switch than to just have one guy do 100 recipes on animations on curry. Same thing with the palette swaps with Creamy. It's different that they just have Creamy with different toppings than actually built Pokemon from scratch. So it's not really fair to compare, like, oh, they could have 100 curries, but not all the Pokemon. It's like, well,
oh, no, I agree with that. I agree with
apples
that.
Apples and oranges.
I agree with that. I'm going to just stay and decide until the game comes out and gets data mined.
Yeah.
Because
I am sure that thing's going to be updated later.
They haven't said anything of that.
And they won't.
Yet.
They won't say it until it happens. Because, yeah.
Yeah. And I do want to see how that goes, and I would be more than happy to pay a season pass. If they say it takes that much more work, I would be more than happy to pay a season pass to, like, get raids for Pokemon. Like, that's perfectly fine. Like, let's talk about it from a TCG standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
TCG standpoint, you guys spend, like, tons of money to keep your decks updated.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have to, once every year, instead of paying $60 for a game, I have to pay $80 to $100
mm-hmm.
to be able to stay competitively relevant, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that,
like,
too. Yep.
I'm literally okay with that. I have no problems with that. And I think that's something that, that I don't know. I hope that's the middle ground that they take, and we'll see.
Yep.
We'll definitely see. But I do want to see when the game gets data mined. I really want to see the models. Want to see the models, and I want to see them compared to the 3DS models. Because a lot of the 3DS models were made so that they could support high definition.
Yeah.
And I want to see if they actually use them or if they really did just throw them all out.
It could be. Sometimes work is done, and at the end, later times, find out that it's like, we did all this work, and now it's for nothing because we can't use it.
Oh, yeah, no. If I said I never did anything like that, I'd be completely wrong.
Yep.
So I just want to see how it goes. But yeah, I think this is the biggest one where, because, like, I've seen a lot of people online on both sides,
yeah,
like, really pushing it. And honestly, let's just all, like, respect each other and respect that some people are upset. I respect that some people are okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this, I mean, this is the Star Wars Episode 8 of Pokemon. It's really bad.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's really bad out there, guys.
Yeah.
Just be nice.
But it's bad. It's bad without even giving a chance. The game is not out yet, right?
Exactly. That's kind of something that I see. That's something that makes me the most sad.
It's all like, oh, I don't have what I want, so I'm just going to. And I'm not talking about people on this podcast or our community. I'm mm-hmm. talking about the trolls online that you can't go on a single freaking Pokemon theme thing that is not related to the Dex and have someone mention the freaking National Dex thing. And it's annoying as hell. For those people who do that online, I'm talking specifically about you. It is annoying to have someone who listens to just an announcement that, if you really sit down and think about it, makes sense from a human perspective. These people have families to go to. So it is okay for them to know what to prioritize so they do not have to not go to see their families at night. And it's fine. We may not have all the Pokemon, the 1,000 that they might be now, right now on this game. We might have it on the next one. Heck, we might have it on an update. So let's all chill.
So a little bit of what you said is wrong.
Okay.
So you said in a future game, we don't know if we're going to have it. They literally said, this is the way we're doing Pokemon from now on.
Okay.
When they announced the Dex cut. So let's not have hope, false hope there.
Well, I keep saying, let's just wait and see.
I definitely think that this is a mistake on their part. And they did not announce, like, what they meant by, like, this is what we were going to do with Pokemon from going forward. Like, do they mean by the every generation, this is what's going to do?
Yeah.
Or when we move to new hardware, this is what we're going to do? Because they did say in an interview later, they don't know if they're going to take models that were used in Sword and Shield and use them in future games yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they hadn't decided that also scares me a little bit. Because it's just like, you have them, and then you have no excuse, right?
Yeah. I mean, the only way I can see this, because every single game we go out, it's going to be even more difficult and more difficult. There's going to be more Pokemon. The only way I can see them being able to provide everything that we want is for them to outsource the animations for Pokemon to different companies.
They already do that. They just outsource to Creatures Inc.
Yeah.
So the problem with that, I don't know. So there's a couple problems. We can talk about how they could just throw money at it, but that's also probably not like a valid argument. We're not in that. We're not in Game Freak, and we can't make that kind of decision or call. So I want to refrain from that. I think that with their 25th anniversary coming up in a couple of years, they are not going to screw the pooch on that one.
No.
And they're not going to mess
it up. I mean, never say never when it comes to Nintendo. You know, they're always one step one step to front, two backwards, always.
Oh, no, they've been doing really well on the Switch up till
now.
On
the Switch, yes. That's the exception.
They've been doing really well. Well, I think with the new leadership after Iwata.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Iwata, like, bless his heart.
Yeah.
Was, I think he was very good about the human aspect of video games.
Yeah.
Both from the customer perspective and from the developer perspective. And I think now with the, because first of all, does anybody even know who the president of Nintendo is now?
No, just the new one, Bowser, because of obvious reason.
Nope, that's Nintendo of America.
The new American
So if we look at Iwata, who was a video game developer that became the president of Nintendo, and this is getting way off track and we should end it here, but. But the new president of Nintendo is actually a former accountant in Nintendo.
Oh, wow.
And they never a video game developer. And so I think you could tell that shift. I mean, just look at just how the Switch was marketed and just look at the marketing for that versus anything prior to that.
Yeah.
It was definitely a tonal shift. And you can kind of see how it's becoming, for the lack of a better word, I don't like to use this word, corporate, though.
Yeah.
In an extent. But they're definitely becoming more business oriented, and I think they're I don't know if that's good for the company or bad for the company.
Well, if they are, they might be turning to business practices, but we can't really say that they're not listening still to their fans, because see that last direct Nintendo Direct to see how closely they're listening to their fans.
We can talk about that offline. we should probably end it here. Because I mean, I do want to end on the note that I think all the things that are in here are cool, except the camp thing. I'm not a huge fan, other than the fact that you can other friends.
Yeah.
Unless like you said, Seth, the Currys do something. I mean, they're obviously going to do something, or why the heck have 100?
It's just what the something is.
Yeah,
if it's like Rotom Dex boosts, cool. But if it's like EVs and IVs, because it does say that
cooler.
You eat with your Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I'm okay with
that. Who
knows?
Maybe that's hyper training. Who knows? I don't know.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But yeah, that's where we'll end it. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode.
Well, school's coming up, kids. If you want some cool new swag for, I don't know, back to school season, you can go over to Puckle Tee Public Store and you can go and grab any kind of designs, whether it just be the Puckle logo so you can represent me and the company that all these people are working for, or maybe you just want something cool like a Pokemon like Dragonite Kanji shirt. It's fantastic. We got everything over there. If not, maybe you want a throw pillow to throw in your apartment if you're going to college. Just some cool artwork to put on your wall. You can just go grab some of the Puckle staff pictures that Basket put up. They're great. I suggest it. Everything you can buy there helps us out in any single way that you can possibly do it. It's a great way to support the show and get something in return. So please go do it. And I will catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Poke of the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 779, Bruxish, the Gnash Teeth Pokemon.
The Sun and Moon says... Oh, the Sun version says... When it unleashes psychic power from the protuberance in its head, the grating sound of grinding teeth echoes through this area.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty dark.
Really cool. first of all, Bruxish is surprisingly okay, by the way.
I remember when this was announced, everyone was losing their minds because it was going to completely dominate over Talonflame.
It does, though. But the problem is, so like when Gen 7 came out, I honestly think that their mentality for competitive was, what can we do to make Talonflame bad? And they did it in a lot of ways. One, you had the dazzling ability come out of Bruxish, which is never used. Instead, it has strong jaw, which is far better in terms of the meta now, because not only did we get dazzling and queenly majesty, which stopped these priority moves and psychic surge, you also got Talonflame being nerfed by Gale Wings. Gale Wings just got hit hard.
Yeah.
So Talonflame is no longer usable. And so if we don't need to run dazzling, so we run strong jaw because it's way better. And it's got a base 105 attack and a base 92 speed, which actually makes it not a bad Pokemon.
Yeah.
And its defenses aren't bad either. Like, its defense, special attack, and special defense are all 70, and its HP 68. None of these things are bad about Bruxish. And Psychic Water, not a bad typing. I would like to remind you of Starmie, which has been sitting in OU for quite a while.
Yep.
And it's got the same exact typing.
My princess.
Up until Gen 7, yeah, single tier.
That's true. And it takes a really, really... Like, it has a lot of moves that can benefit from the strong jaw ability as well. So we found a sample team online, and it is a fantastic team that talks about Bruxish and uses Bruxish to its maximum effect in RU. So let's just break down this team. First, we have Bruxish with Life Orb. Ability strong jaw, 252 attack, 252 speed, jolly, because you want that thing going fast like Sonic.
Yeah.
And it gets Swords Dance, which is fantastic. Waterfall. Psychic Fangs, which takes use of that strong jaw ability, which is also really cool because it acts as like Brick Break as well. So Psychic Fangs is fantastic. I love that move. It's on like no Pokemon except for Bruxish, and yeah. I think Sharpedo.
Yeah, it's a couple things. That's it.
Yeah, and then Aqua Jet for that priority. Fantastic Mon. Very happy with it. And then speaking of that, if you're gonna use Bruxish, you might as well run Sharpedo.
Yeah.
And so this is just Speed Boost Sharpedo, which is also a fantastic Pokemon in and of its own right. The synergy between these two isn't that great, obviously, because they don't really work together that well. But if you look at the rest of the team, it works out okay. And so we have Sharpedo with Life Orb. Once again, we just have two heavy water type attackers, which RU is actually really scared of water type attackers like this.
And that's why I would say they actually go together pretty well, because RU is if scared. You can use one to overwhelm the water type checks on the other team, you sweep mm-hmm. with the other.
Yeah, RU is actually really, really scared of this. And so we have Hydro Pump, Ice Beam, and Dark Pulse, and a special attacking Sharpedo, actually, which is really interesting. Modest Nature. That's really interesting. And then I'll do one more, and then you can take the rest home, Seth.
Ooh, can I do Chestnut?
You can do what you want. Yeah, do it. Do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so take it.
Chestnut with Leftovers, I assume this is going to be the most defensive of the bunch. It chooses the ability Bulletproof, which Bulletproof... What does Bulletproof do? It allows a 50% on bullet-based attacks?
No, it actually blocks them entirely. So, like, Sludge Bomb doesn't hit Chestnut, and Bullet Seed won't hit it, stuff like that.
On it, awesome. Put those EVs on 252 on HP and 252 on speed with a 4 in attack, and then...
Special defense.
And then you choose the nature of Careful for that extra defense boof. And the attacks are Leech Seed, Spiky Shield, Spikes, and Drain Punch.
That's all fantastic. And then, Seth, take us home. You can take us home.
Yeah.
I'll let you do it. Finish off that Fire, Water, Grass core, though.
That's what I was about to say, is that we've rounded out with a Salazzle, because it's an awesome Pokemon. It's holding the Poisonium Z with the ability that should not be that ability. This team that we found.
Okay,
should not be
but
that
it's
ability.
RU, so I'm kind of okay with it.
But it literally is useless. Right now, this team has ability Corrosion on it. It should be Oblivious, I think.
It doesn't matter. They're both equally useless.
The EVs are HP, 248 HP, 8 special attack, and 252 speed. And it's got Sludge Bomb, Nasty Plot, Taunt, and Fire Blast. So none of those moves are toxic, so it shouldn't be Corrosion. And at least Oblivious could keep it from being taunted.
Yeah, that is really bad. You're actually right. There's no toxic.
So, yeah, it's a really good... Salazzle is a terrifying thing to see.
Especially in RU
sometimes.
Yeah, in RU, it's super scary. It's really, really fast.
Yeah, and it's real fast. Once it gets a Nasty Plot up, it's surprisingly powerful. And with Sludge Bomb and Fire Blast with decently high base power...
With Poisonium Z? Ugh.
Yeah, it's a really scary sweeper down there. And the max HP is just to help you survive a couple hits, because it does have a really good defensive typing, with the exception of a couple obvious things like ground. But
yes.
Fire actually, other than steel, if I'm correct, fire has the most resistances. behind
steel. You're probably not wrong. Yeah.
So you can take advantage of a few of those. Like you double resist fairy, so that's cool. You can use that to set up a nasty plot and go.
Except you're an RU, so there's like one fairy type.
So when you find that one, you just take advantage
of it. It's like, I think it's like Gardevoir. I think that's literally the only fairy type that it gets run in RU.
Yeah. Outside of Salazzle, just to kind of round out a little bit more defensive and just kind of field control, we have Gligar with Eviolite, as all Gligar are. The ability is Hypercutter, which is weird. I would personally run Immunity.
I agree.
The EVs are 252 HP, 4 attack, 252 defense. It's just solidly physically defensive Gligar. You can run mixed if you want to, but physical defense is good. Impish Nature, Stealth Rock, Acrobatics.
I would probably not do Acrobatics.
I wouldn't do Acrobatics. I would do Earthquake there.
Yes.
Stealth Rock, we'll say Earthquake, Roost, and U-Turn. It's pretty good. I mean, it's a Gligar. It sets your hazards, and it pivots into things, and maybe you could use this particular one to absorb a knockoff, but I mean, you're avoiding knockoff anyway because of Eviolite, so ignore this team. Swap Acrobatics for Earthquake, please. Just ignore us and just do that. The last Pokemon that we've got on here is Cryogonal with Leftovers. The ability is Levitate because that's what it gets. 248 HP, 108 defense, 56 special defense, and 96 speed. That hits specific numbers that I don't know.
I do not know the Cryogonal numbers.
I don't know the Cryogonal numbers exactly. And Cryogonal serves as hazard control, and it's also got a surprisingly good special defense stat. So between Gligar and Cryogonal, you've kind of got balanced
and Chestnut.
Backbone to the
and
team.
And Chestnut.
It's a surprisingly sturdy team. And
this team looks so much fun. I just want to play this team.
It does. Anyway, rounding it off, Cryogonal has Rapid Spin, Recover, Ice Beam, and Knock Off. So
there you go.
Team.
And I guess if
with
you
our
want
edits.
Yeah, we had to change that. So I guess if you like Bruxish and you want a shiny one, it's like Christmas. If you want to
really?
Yeah. If you want a Christmas Bruxish, you can go join our Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. And you can do that giveaway. I need to really sit down catch up on those because I haven't done them in a while because life comes at you fast. Life's been hitting me real hard as of late. So I do ask people to bear with me. I'll probably post a thing about it on Patreon just so everybody realizes everything that's been going on. And that way it's just not like, oh, Thatch hasn't been purposely forgetting you. It's just Thatch has also been trying not to get fired.
Always a good thing.
That sounds a little bit more scary than it actually is, but that's not it's not exactly. but yes, so that is where we are at. So yeah, we're going to take a short break and we're going to switch things over to the mailbag.
Time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the energy drink, a Green Taurus, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
That was really loud, and I'm scared. And so welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where we read your emails on the show. If you email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, we will probably read your email on the show. Unless there's a time crunch like there is now, and we're only going to get to three of them, and we had more than three of them. Then we'll post it on the Discord. Yeah. So last week we wanted to know what you guys thought about Pokemon Masters. And so let's jump right on in with Trainer Wolf. Hello, Puckle people. Trainer Wolf writing in for this week's mailbag. I happen to be home with a 101 degree fever on Pokemon Masters launch day, so I got to spend a fair amount of time with it. I've seen a lot of people saying it's fairly generous for a gacha game, to which I say, have you ever played a gacha game?
Yeah.
Pokemon Masters is
not generous at all.
By gacha game standards.
I agree with
you. True, it gives you some characters through the story, which is nice, but like Thatch said last week, it doesn't give you very many, and most of them aren't that good. The biggest thing for me, though, is the gems. Why is there a distinction between paid and free gems? That's ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
Like the fluffiest Whimsicott. I also got pushed to get 3,000 gems to do the guaranteed five-star draw, only to discover the free gems I'd earned weren't good enough, and I would have to pay $30 to get the guaranteed five-star draw.
Same thing happened to me. I pushed for the 3,000. I got them yes, I'm going to have my first five-star, and then realized I couldn't use the same gems.
Yep. Most gacha games I've played will give players quite a bit of in-game currency at the beginning of the game to get players hooked, and they usually run events regularly, allowing players to earn high-ranked characters without spending real money. We don't know yet if Pokemon Masters will run events like that, but I'm doubtful, considering this absurd free versus paid gems nonsense. And to the fact that each mission might get 10 gems at most, which means you'd have to do 30 missions to do a single draw, which most likely will be a 3-star character anyway. The game itself is fun, it looks nice, but to be honest, if it wasn't Pokemon, I would have already deleted the app from my phone. As it is, even though it's a Pokemon game, I'm still spending my time playing Soccer Spirits instead, or maybe Pokemon Go if I feel like playing Pokemon game on my phone. I like the idea of Pokemon Masters, but it's already annoyed me by making it feel like I have to spend my money to get good characters, and I don't see myself coming back to it very often unless I stop being quite so stingy with resources. In the past, I put a lot of money into Parallel Kingdom, but eventually the developers shut down the game and I lost everything from it. So now I won't spend more than a few dollars on a mobile game because you never know when the game can disappear forever. I'm happy to spend time and effort grinding in a game if I know there will be good rewards at the end of it all, but Pokemon Masters doesn't seem to be to offer good enough rewards at this point to make my time worthwhile. Here's hoping DNA decides to give us a little more to entice me back into Pokemon Masters as the journey continues. Trainer,
I agree 100% with everything he just said there.
I agree with everything he said.
Everything. And you know me, I'm the hype man. I'm super positive always, super optimistic. I don't tend to look too much into the bad news. And
that's actually true. And it's one of the things that I hate about Jushiro the most, but it's something that we do. Like it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah, I know what real struggling and real issues are, and I'm not gonna waste emotions on things that I feel it's not really worth it. However, this game did come out, I was super hyped for it, super excited, and I did play. And even though I enjoyed the graphics and gameplay a bit, it is true. It doesn't give you enough resources as normal gacha games, which I tend to play as well. And the amount of things that you can pull off is not that big, only 60 something, I believe. And that's not really that much to pull from, which is why maybe the resources are so low, because people are like, if we gave too much resources, you're going to possibly unlock everything in this game. I doubt it. Because of the obviously random mechanics. But it's just not enough to keep, it doesn't have, even though it looks pretty, it doesn't have enough to keep you coming. So that's my biggest complaint.
I agree with you. The one thing that I've taken from this experience of Pokemon Masters coming out is that far more of the people on this show play gacha games than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like previous to Pokemon Masters. Because for me, I'm like, I tried gacha games like one time. And then I'm like, nope, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting into this because I'm not going to be tempted to like pay money for things in a digital way like this. And then like everybody else is like, yeah, I've played this one. I've played this one. I've played that one. And I'm just like, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a market for this that I did not see.
Well, there's a market for people who like to play it. What's new? Play about 30 minutes to an hour, maybe a day or two or a week, and then drop it and not spend a single cent on it.
I honestly think that's what Masters is going to be.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know. I don't think they put enough in-game currency into it to really do it. And it does feel kind of like an unfinished game.
Mm-hmm. It does.
To an extent. But that's neither here nor there. All right. So this next one is from Anthony, I guess. Yeah, he didn't give us a name. I'll let you read this one, Jushiro.
Anthony says, I think Pokemon Masters is great. I may not be living up to the hype that was presented. Was there a hype for this?
Yeah, there was actually giant hype for this. They like made a separate account on Twitter for this.
Oh, snap. Oh, okay.
This is like the biggest mobile release, just as like put this in reference for you, for Pokemon since Pokemon Go.
Okay.
This is what they really hyped it up to be.
Okay. But it's so much more coming. I really like that the PvP upgrade away, wait. That it's a PvP upgrade away from making it to the world stage, as we see with this year's Pokemon Go. Maybe throw
don't
in a
talk
larger.
To me about that.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's coming in 2 years. The PvP.
Don't even talk to me about it being at Worlds. Like that was
maybe.
I don't know. I don't know whether to call that a charade or a mistake. Like
tap faster.
Yeah, maybe throw in a larger move pool for the Pokemon, so everyone isn't using the same moves. This is from Anthony.
All right. So yeah, thank you for that. Our last email today is going to be from whoever I told Seth to read.
Yep, that would be she or shy. I'm gonna say she because I can read.
Yes.
Anyway, hey, she here. How are you doing today, Puckle Crew?
Doing good.
I'm doing really good. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Anyway, rocking and ready to rumble, I hope. I thought I'd send you guys an email with your thoughts on Pokemon Master. Oh, my thoughts on Pokemon Masters. I haven't played the game itself as my phone is too old, and I quite frankly don't want to waste time on it, seeing as I probably won't play it for long. But I have seen some gameplay, and I know that if you waste $100 on it, it'll be the best, as you'll get one 5-star trainer. That's... The game will suck you dry of money, and after a time, you won't have any more money to waste on it, which would be okay, but after you stop feeding it money, there's literally nothing new to do. Honestly, I think the game is a waste of time and money, and that no one should play it. If you're willing...
Yes, we'll talk about that.
Kind of. I feel like that's a slight... Like, it's only $24 to get a 5-star.
Yeah, but that's still only...
That's not much better.
Like, so we put it in perspective last episode. Like, it comes out roughly to like $2.5 to $3 for a character, right? Just to put this in perspective, I would be so much happier. The profit margins aren't as large, but literally just sell me like little gacha figures for like $5 of all these trainers, and I would be so much happier.
I think that the entire thing of this game is really, really well summarized by something that their Twitter account did this week. And they made a big thing about, like, hey, you can have an avatar creator.
Oh, God. Yeah, I saw
that. You can do an avatar creator of Pokemon Masters, and you can put it, and it even comes with the frame to make it look like Pokemon Masters. So I thought, cool. I was scrolling through Twitter. I see that on the Twitter account, and I go, okay, awesome. I want to go, you know, make my little player character and then put the ring around it for being in Pokemon Masters. And I click the link. And all it is just putting the ring for Pokemon Masters around an image that you upload.
Yeah.
It's like there was hype. Not that I was lied to, but yeah. It felt like, oh, you can do this thing. Actually, it's only this one little part of it.
So, like, I don't know. I don't know. So the hype surrounding this game, I didn't really understand. One, because again, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I'm extremely biased. I'm my opinion probably isn't super valid because like I'm biased against gacha games. I'm not a fan, right? Mm-hmm. So first of all, they were announcing that. I'm like, okay, so that kills my hype. It's a gacha game. Not a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
There's that problem. And then they just kept announcing things, and I'm like, yeah, this is not sounding better. And everybody's like, oh, this is going to be a really cool game, blah, blah, blah. Gigi Masuda tried to make it sound like, yeah, you have Pokemon Go for catching Pokemon, and now you have Pokemon Masters for battling Pokemon when they announced it. And unfortunately, like, I can't get into that line, that line of thought. So, I don't know. That's just me. I never got the hype, but then again, I'm probably not your average person to ask that, about that.
Yeah, I think final review from me is give it 6 months, go back to it, see how it is.
I would like to see what happens in 6 months. I would be interested to see that because my big worry is if you look at most of every Pokemon's mobile ventures outside of Pokemon Go, they die like within like 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm scared of one spending money on something that's just not going to exist in 3 years. Like Duel's the worst example, I think. Like you could dump money into Duel and then like you could have dumped hundreds of dollars into Duel. And really enjoy that. And then next month, you just can't play it anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's the worst.
Yeah. To wrap up this email from She, though, they left us a team to review for Doubles OU. And we that we have here on the show today are not the most experienced in Doubles OU. So what I would say to do, She, is drop into the Discord and go to the Smogon thread. Because on there, you can drop this team in just... like that, or as a poke paste or something like that, and people that are a lot smarter in Doubles OU than we are can drop in there and review it for you. I know there's a couple people that play Doubles OU in there. They've been having a grand time using the most weird, unorthodox things on there, so they'll be a lot smarter at reviewing this for you. So drop it there. We'd love to have you if you haven't already dropped it by the time this comes out. So that's what I would recommend for you.
All right, and that's it. If you want to go ahead and What is it? If you want to go ahead and send an email in next week, you can go ahead and send that to PucklePodcast@gmail.com, letting us know what you think of the new Pokemon Camp, literally all of those announcements. I think all of those were really exciting announcements. Surprise Trade is really cool, actually. I'm a big fan.
I'm hyped for everything. I want my
honestly,
me
too.
Pokemon.
Honestly, everything I was super hyped about, except for Pokemon Camp, like it was more of like a meh, like a baseline meh from me.
I mean, it was expected. We all knew it was gonna.
We all knew they were gonna do
it's
some kind of Pokemon
how
Ami upgrade.
Do it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you.
Well,
I mean,
this was also in the rumor, so we knew it was coming
in
this form.
I was very like, okay, it happened. I wasn't like, man, this happened. This is the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, it's like, oh, new Toyota Corolla. Okay.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Exactly.
I knew it was going to come. I'm not hype about it.
That sums up my feeling. That sums up my feelings exactly about what happened today. Or not today, this week. For just Pokemon Camp, I think everything else is a really cool feature.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm also very excited that Ditto made it back in. So
yes.
But yes. That is it for this show. If you want to follow us, you can follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, Instagram, all those fun places. You can also go ahead and follow us on YouTube. We just hit 1,000 subscribers. We really appreciate all of you that did it. We are also going to be over at, what is it? Not just Reddit, but Twitch. Twitch.tv/... The Puckle Podcast. Yashira and myself are there, sometimes Orange, and we stream a bunch of stuff. That's where I'm doing the Nuzlocke right now. The Nuzlocke, I guarantee, will always be on Thursday. There will probably be an extra day every week. It just is going to float around. I'm sorry for those of you who like to plan. if you want to know, follow us on Twitter, follow us on our Discord, where you can talk to us about a bunch of really cool things.
Yes.
And then also, if you want to support the show, Twitch is a great place to do that. You can use your Twitch Prime subscription, cost you nothing if you're already an Amazon Prime member, but you can also go ahead and follow us not only on Twitch, but you can follow us over on TeePublic, buy some cool shirts, buy some cool merch. We really appreciate it. Every time you do it, you support the show and get something cool out of it. You can also go ahead and go over to our Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. Get some real physical gym leader badges from Summer League. It's really hype. The next batch of those is going out this month. So
yeah,
get ready for that.
They're super high quality. They're super pretty. You will not regret
it. They are really pretty. I was really happy with how they came out. But yeah, that is it for this week's Puckle Podcast. I have been Trainer Thatch.
Some say I've been Jashira.
And I've been Seth Vilo.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. As always, we here at Puckle would like to thank our patrons for helping support the show and waiting very patiently for the rewards, because the badges will be on their way later this week. I'm going to send out everything, even if you're not, but I'm going to be doing the, what's it called? The the August, September, and October rewards are all going out at the same time. You're going to get 3 badges in your next bundle. So hopefully you will stay true and you'll still patron us next month as well. and then we're going to have to come up with new prizes for you guys because I don't know what we're going to do after October. So we're going to go ahead and do that. But let's thank all of our patrons. Thank you to Greg, Viger, Duly Noted, Rob, Josh, Alex, Keegan, Ilaria, OG Paladin, Sean, Michael, Paul, Dexio, Chris, Jin, Miguel, Apollo, Corey, Rotted Mushroom, Mr. Panda, Titan Killer, Lane, Lord Korbnik, Ryan, Seth Vilo, Wade, Marcus, King Kavik, Enharmonia, Alolan Dergs, Tank, Claude9, Bodtech, Chris, Swamp Rattata, Joseph, Christopher, Joshua, Zane, Doc McStuffles, Cody, The Golden Klefki, The British Gent, Trevor, Mark, TJ, Ryan, Doc Knox, Dennis, Echo, Jonathan, Disco Calypso, Taylor, Charles, Allegiori, there we go, Maxi, Shambles, Justin, Tim, Andrew, Old Man Tup, Zephyr, David, Chris, Jeremy, Louise, Justin, South, Locke, Jordan, Zach, Graham, Greg, Alec, Jegler, Mikey, Kevin, Josh, Dark Flame, Zarni, Halfful Reviews, Sparky, Coop, Jordan, Huitku, Shira, Smacky the Frog, Ironcaster, Kevin, Orange Avenger, Steve, Anime Gravy, Hazelnut, Dylan, Joseph, Franco, Treby, Cordell, and Julia. Thank you to all of you. You make the world go round here at Puckle, and we really appreciate. Look out for those rewards coming here in the near future. Also, live show. I think we're going to plan for something this Friday, the 13th, so watch out for that on Patreon. We're going to see if we can get a live show going. All right, guys, thanks a lot, and I hope to catch you all on the flip-flop.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.